When I got the memo from Dr. Comfort about preaching in chapel today, I began immediately praying about what to speak on. I wanted to give you something from my heart, something that I've learned in my 4 years here at school. And the greatest lesson I've learned is that my relationship with the Lord is the most important thing on this earth. And this morning, I want us to see that you must read and meditate on the Word of God every day. You must maintain that relationship with the Lord. In Acts 4:13, when Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." I have written in my Bible next to that verse, the best education that a man can have is a relationship with the Lord. I'm not downing education, of course. What I've learned in eschatology, ecclesiology, pneumatology, Greek, English, I wouldn't give that up. But I would much rather have my relationship with the Lord and never have gone to college than to have all that. I would much rather be Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus than be a Martha and go to school after school getting degree after degree after degree. I want that better part. And this morning, I want each one of you to see that you must read and meditate on the Word of God for three reasons. Because a personal relationship with God is the only way to have consistent victory in your life. Because a Sunday-to-Sunday mentality of Christianity does not please God. And last of all, because it is the only way to truly be blessed. It is the only way to be truly blessed. Psalm chapter 1. We'll read the whole passage and then begin. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Verse number 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Most commentaries, most preachers, a lot of preachers I should say, will say that this is a progression into evil, into wickedness. They say, at first, a man starts out and he starts listening to the counsel of the ungodly. And then he begins standing in the way of sinners. And then, finally, he ends up sitting in the seat of the scornful and mocking God. But that's not the case. It's Hebrew parallelism here. Each one of these thoughts is speaking of the same thing. If you listen to the counsel of the ungodly, you are sinning. You are standing in the way of sinners. Every time you sin, you listen to the counsel of the ungodly. And you're sitting there mocking God and saying, "God, I don't need you. I'm going to do my own thing." So each one of these things is parallel. The counsel of the ungodly. What is the counsel of the ungodly? It can be found in three areas. The world, the flesh, or our hearts, and the devil. The devil wants us to believe his lies. The world has its philosophies, and our heart will deceive us. The devil has lied and tried to deceive since the beginning. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Later on in that chapter, it goes on to speak of Satan transforming himself as an angel of light. the greatest danger, the greatest lie, the most dangerous lie is that which is cloaked in truth. 1% lie equals 100% lie. And the devil will always try and deceive us. The world always has its philosophies for us to believe. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. We've heard that. Possessions, pleasure, that's what the world wants us to believe. But we can't believe the world's philosophies. And then lastly, as far as the counsel of the ungodly is, the flesh, our heart, our own heart. If we believe our heart, we will go astray every time. Nothing good is said in the Bible about our flesh. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 10, and a passage very similar to Psalm chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth forth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your own wickedness in your heart ought to drive you to the Bible, to God's Word. What is going to tell us? What is going to show us when we are tempted to sin? When we're tempted to rebel against authority? When we're tempted to think thoughts that aren't godly? What is going to tell us? It is going to be our relationship with the Lord, walking in the Spirit. Reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible, and walking in the Spirit, there's a strong correlation there. In Colossians 3:16, well, two different places in the Bible where it talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In Colossians 3:16 it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Ephesians 5:18-21, "But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." It may not be able to be said that just letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly is walking in the Spirit, but there is a strong correlation there. We must be walking with the Lord, meditating on His Word every day. The greatest defense is an offense. If we're in this Word of God, we'll be able to have victory. We'll be able to have victory each and every day. Daily fellowship is the key to daily victory. Daily fellowship is a key to daily victory. Don't put that quote to me. That was Pastor Camp's quote on Sunday morning in his message. So, daily fellowship is the key to daily victory. The second reason why we must read and meditate on the Word of God each and every day is because the Sunday-to-Sunday mentality of Christianity does not please God. May I say a Sunday-to-Wednesday or even a chapel-to-chapel mentality of Christianity does not please God, or even an assignment-to-assignment mentality of Christianity does not please God. Many times I have found myself opening my Bible when I need to memorize a verse or when I need to do a paper. And I think, when's the last time I opened this Word? And it was the last time I was in chapel or to do an assignment. God wants us to be meditating on His Word, walking with Him continually. King David delighted in God's Word. Verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night." We don't know for sure who the author of this was, but we know that King David delighted in the Word of God. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, "I delight to do Thy will, O God. O my God, yea, Thy law is within my heart." Psalm 112, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments." Psalm 119, verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The word here in verse 2, meditate, has the idea of thinking, talking about something, thinking it over continuously. The Hebrew word does not differentiate between thinking about something or talking about it. You know, we might be just talking it over in our own hearts, quietly, or we may be talking about it to others. But we're meditating in God's Word. And we need to do that constantly. King David, whoever the writer of this psalm was, King David might have been Solomon, meditated day and night in the Word of God. Now, is this a 24/7, 365 meditation? You know, do we never go to sleep? No, obviously that's not the case. But King David so loved the Lord and meditated on the Word of God that if he woke up in the middle of the night, that's what came to his mind. Now, I've noticed something in my own life. What I go to bed sleeping or go to bed thinking about, that's what I think about when I wake up. If it's in the middle of the night or if it's in the morning, if I sleep straight through, that's what I think about. And day and night, our meditation, we ought to be thinking about God's Word, living in light of the principles of God's Word. When we're driving down the road and somebody cuts us off, do we get angry? We will if we're not meditating in God's Word. I've heard this story. I'm not sure whether it is true, but I would suspect that it is. But Dr. John R. Rice's children have said that they would walk down the hall at night, and they'd walk by their father's bedroom, and they'd hear him preaching or praying in his sleep. He so loved the Lord that in his sleep, in his dreams, his thoughts were on God. That's where I want to be. I want to get to that point. I want my relationship to be the most important thing in my life. You say, David, I understand this, but how am I going to get there? It's a choice. It's a choice. Each day, you have to set aside and make time to spend in God's Word. You have to make the choice that while you're shaving, while you're brushing your teeth, whatever, you're going to be praying to the Lord and talking with Him. It's a choice while you're driving down the road to be thinking about the Scriptures, be thinking about what you read in your devotions, mulling it over in your mind, musing about it, thinking about it. It's a choice. We've seen that we must read and meditate on the Word of God every day because it is the only way to have consistent victory in our life, and because a Sunday-to-Sunday mentality of Christianity does not please God. But last of all, because it is the only way to be truly blessed. In verse 3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." It is only natural for a tree to drink from the water, from its source of nourishment. And it is only natural for a Christian to read and meditate on the Word of God, to be in communion with his Lord. It's only natural. That's the way it ought to be. It's the only way to be blessed. This whole chapter is contrasting the way of the godly and the way of the ungodly, but a couple things that I want to bring out of verse 3. The way of the godly, they are well nourished. The rivers of water, they'll never dry up. They'll never be stale. They'll always be fresh. There'll always be nourishment there. The way of the ungodly, they want nourishment. They lack nourishment. The way of the godly is sturdy in the wind. No matter the trials that come to us, if we are in God's Word, if we have a personal relationship with the Lord, we will be able to stand those trials. The way of the ungodly, they are steered by the wind. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They have no foundation. The way of the godly is fruitful. The way of the ungodly is fruitless. The way of the godly is prospered by God. God will bless. The way of the ungodly, they are prevented by God. The way of the transgressor is hard. When we turn our backs on God and we do what we want to do, we are in pride saying no to God. And God has said He will resist the proud. He will resist them. No matter where you go, God will always be there resisting you. They will be prevented by God. The way of the godly will be blessed. They will be have a condition of blessing in their lives. But the way of the ungodly are in a condition of blight. They will not be fruitful. They will not be nourished. They will not be prospered by God. It has often been said, this book will keep you from sin, or else sin will keep you from this book. By staying in the Word of God, you are keeping your heart tender so that you can sense when the Holy Spirit is pricking your conscience. By meditating on the counsel of God, you are filling your mind with that which is right and holy and just and pure. Philippians 2:8. And there will not be any room for the counsel of the ungodly. When Satan, the world, or even your own heart brings something into your mind and says, believe this, follow this, you will immediately sense, no, that's wrong. That's not what I need to do. I want to follow God's Word. Often I find myself setting up in a defensive stance when I ought to be walking forward on the offensive, meditating on God's Word, thinking about what He wants me to think about. We must read and meditate on the Word of God every day because a relationship with God is the only way to realize consistent victory. Because a Sunday-to-Sunday mentality of Christianity does not please the Lord. If our Christianity does not permeate our life in every aspect, it does not please God. If we are not searching the Scriptures every day and applying them to our heart, God is not pleased. And we must be reading and meditating on God's Word because that is the only way. Having a relationship with the Lord is the only way to be truly blessed. Life outside of living for God is empty and only leads to death. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I end with this verse, John 13:17. If ye know these things, happy, blessed are ye if ye do them.